Got a guess about what you're hearing? Bet you're wrong. It is the sound of TikToker Lady Taphos scraping, brushing, and rinsing a gravestone. This pre-Halloween week, we are going to the grave. In a few days, we'll look at a new book on cemeteries and how they both reflect and shape our experience of death and dying, and several of those are in New England. But first, we dive into the fascinating world of grave restoration. And we have our own grave restorer right here in the region. Rachel Meyer co-founded Epoch Preservation. Rachel, welcome.
Hi, Tiziana. Thanks for having me.
So I was fascinated to find out that this is a thing that people do. So explain it for us, Rachel. What do you do as somebody who restores graves, grave sites, cemeteries?
Yeah, so this is actually something we've been doing for 8 years now. And what we do is we go around the North Shore in southern New Hampshire and assess the conditions of the gravestones in our local cemeteries and put in the work, you know, mortaring back together, cleaning, and any other thing we have to do to get the gravestones back up and in respectable condition.
Who pays for it, Rachel? Who's the market for having this done? Is it individual families? Is it cities and towns who have cemeteries they're responsible for? How does that work?
Well, it's a little bit of all of that. Every once in a while, we get contacted by an individual who sometimes is about to have a funeral and wants their grave site to be in good condition before they have visitors. But oftentimes it's cities, towns, historical commissions that are reaching out to us and using cemetery funds or Community Preservation Act funds to pay us for our work.
So I confess that I just think cemeteries are amazing. I think they're the coolest thing, and I love walking through the really old historical ones and looking at the history that's kind of coming out of the ground at you. Do you mostly work with the older gravestones, with older cemeteries in this historical preservation space, Rachel?
Yes, we tend to work with cemeteries and gravestones that are you know, 1900s. Our favorite stones to repair, of course, are the slate ones that we really only have in our area. I think people from all over the country are pretty jealous when they see photos of our beautiful slate graves and the art that's on them. So, yeah, that's what we focus on, the old ones.
We're talking about restoring our region's historic cemeteries and grave sites in the region. We're speaking with Rachel Meyer, who's co-founder and gravestone conservator for Epoch Preservation. I want to talk about that a little bit. So in reading for this, Rachel, I noted that there was apparently a time when slate gravestones were not only unique to New England, but were kind of the thing in New England. And then around the Revolutionary War, that ended. Do I have that right?
Yeah, around the Revolutionary War, I'm sorry, I got a little interrupted there. Around the Revolutionary War, things really changed as far as the motifs. I'm sorry, could you repeat your question again?
Yeah, Rachel, no problem. So what really struck me is learning that slate is not only unique to New England, but to a period of time. And then, like, I mean, slate didn't go away at the Revolutionary War, and yet we stopped seeing slate grave markers during that time. So can you explain that?
You know, I'm not really sure what the move to marble was, but it did happen around the Revolutionary War. Before then, our motifs in our graves were a lot darker and foreboding and tried to sort of warn people about what would happen if they didn't behave correctly. And then we sort of moved on around, as you said, the Revolutionary War, into sort of a lighter area motif where we're offering sort of, you know, condolence to those left behind and celebrating the lives that people had. There's no real reason why people have stopped using slate. Lots of people still choose to have slate gravestones today. I think it's just more the lightness of it and the change of attitude.
So I want to have you paint us a picture, Rachel. So I'm going to ask you to think of one of the graves that's been most meaningful to you to restore. And begin at the beginning. How did you come to restore the grave? What's the first thing that you had to do? What stands out to you most about the process?
I would say easily the most important project that I've ever worked on is the segregated section of Howard Street Cemetery. It was something
that
was
Salem, right?
That's in Salem at Howard Street. And it is, if you were to look at the footprint of the cemetery, it juts out on the back of the cemetery and it contains three gravestones for three individuals that are buried there. And they are abolitionists, African-American people, important people in their community. And it was called to my attention. I was working for the cemetery department in Salem, and somebody had pointed out there's this knocked over gravestone for a lady named Venus Chu, and she is the sister to the inventor of the Joe Frogger cookie. And I sure wish someone would do something about it. So I went back there and noticed the two other gravestones and immediately felt like this needs to be rectified. You know, it's bad enough that they're in a segregated section of the cemetery. What's worse is their graves are sinking into the ground. So it took a couple years to get them back up. But last year we went to Howard Street and, you know, mortared them back together and made new bases for them. And now they're standing up, right? And now we're working on a gravestone for Venus Chu's sister, Patience Jointer, who we found, you know, while sifting through records that she once had a gravestone and now it's missing. So we're working with a local carver, Andrew Carr, who's done a beautiful facsimile based on Venus Chu's gravestone. And we're hoping to get that installed. And so far it's looking good.
So what happened in this case is that Patience Jointer's existence basically in the cemetery, and we think of cemeteries, I think, Rachel, as sort of our long-term proof that we were there, right? That we existed, that we lived. And hers had disappeared. And you only even found out about her because of what, digital records or paper records in a library or something?
You know, yeah. So about in the 1950s, there was a group of ladies who went and did an inventory of the stones in the back of Howard Street Cemetery. And we're lucky that they sort of did them in order. So this is sort of a section that was set aside by Salem for the burial of people of color and strangers. And so they were specifically inventorying this spot. And so we were lucky they did it. I mean, you know, I think about the work they did and I think about the people who are on Find a Grave also doing similar work today. And I don't think people who work on Find a Grave realize how valuable their volunteerism is in helping people remember, first of all, that there was a gravestone there to begin with, and people like me who will later need to find it.
We're talking here on Radio Boston with Rachel Meyer, who is co-founder and gravestone conservator for Epoch Preservation, about this act and art of preserving and restoring graves. What is Find a Grave, Rachel?
So Find a Grave is a database. I think it might be owned by Ancestry.com, but it's made up of people who are volunteering. You get, you know, requests, people looking to see the grave of their loved one from across the country. And these volunteers go out and take photos of the gravestones and sometimes transcribe the inscriptions so that you can search them by name. So if there's a gravestone on Find a Grave, that person will be remembered until that website isn't there anymore. It's extremely helpful.
So we have information that says they currently contain information from over 500,000 cemeteries in over 246 different countries. So that presence, Rachel, the fact that that even exists, right, I think begins to get at the heart of how important yesterday and today, the places where we bury our loved ones, the existence of a place to mourn is. And I understand, and I'm sorry that I have to understand for you, but that this came home for you in a very particular way. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So at the beginning of the pandemic, my mother was one of the first people to pass in Massachusetts of COVID. And at the time, we weren't able to have funerals or any other sort of rituals that we would normally have when you lose a loved one. And it took me 2 months to even have a burial for my mother. And during that time, really the only thing that I had was the ability to create her gravestone and make sure that it was perfectly worded and installed. And so I think up to that point, you know, I didn't really understand why people were so moved by my work. I'd never had to order a gravestone before. I've never really understood you know, the emotional impact of being able to visit a grave and knowing that is properly marked. But, you know, that experience really changed my viewpoint from one of sort of this is an exciting, curious adventure that I'm on to one of this is very serious. And people need these places for their mental health to be able to visit and to feel healed and to feel important.
So do you feel like you work in sacred spaces, Rachel Smallass?
Yes. I think often there's this tendency to, and I don't blame people because I know what I do is very fascinating, but there's this tendency to ask me if I believe in ghosts or I believe in, you know, spooky things. What's the spooky thing I've seen? But really, it's not spooky to me. It's a matter of respect for those who are living to honor where they come from. You know, nothing is more loving than showing care for someone's deceased loved ones.
And if you don't mind asking, me asking, as someone who has cared for so many gravestones, so many markers, what was it important to you to make sure was on your mother's own?
Well, my mom was just, I feel like I'm going to tear up a little bit. My mom was just phenomenal. She was hilarious, and she got her bachelor's degree when she was 65 years old. She raised me as a single mom, and she gave me everything I could possibly need. You know, I grew up in a public housing project, and we had so very little, but she sacrificed so much. And I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that she was a scholar, and she was so proud of being a scholar. And so I put mother and scholar on it, and I wanted everyone to know how very loved she was, because we didn't have these funerals, and how would anyone know unless I put it right on the gravestone? So I made sure I put loved on the corner, and that she was a mother and a scholar.
What's the dream restoration project for you?
Oh, boy. I feel like my life is full of restoration projects that I can't believe I'm doing at any moment, you know? Anything having to do with the witch trials is really remarkable, having done the Rebecca Nurse homestead. As far as the dream, seriously, any graveyard we enter into is just full of absolute fascination to me. There isn't a site that stands out too much more from the others. For me, no matter where I am, I'm in love with what I do and who's buried in them.
Rachel Meyer is a gravestone conservator and co-founder for Epoch Preservation. Rachel, thank you so much. What a fascinating, fascinating thing to do.
Thank you so much, Tiziana.